Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together? Is my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Well, no fake Jackson Jacks. I'm talking about Ricky on the board. SP Futures up 7, NASDAQ Futures down 44. Except for a nice big up day yesterday. NASDAQ Futures down 44. It's sort of interesting because Apple's up $9. But the earnings came out with a lot of money being spent on iPhones and other stuff. Microsoft's up $1.40. Micron down 11, so I guess that's part of it. But still, I'm not sure exactly where the down move is coming in the NASDAQ here. But maybe it won't last. We have Professor Kevin.
You do. Good morning.
How are you, bud?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
Just hanging. I mean, kind of chilly weather for this time of the year, but we've had some pretty warm weather for this time of the year, too, so I guess it's...
It is. We're down to, one more week of classes before I get a little break. Not that I don't have anything work-related for 3 weeks, but, I'll do a couple of trips to different campuses, but other than that, it'll be kind of a mellow couple of weeks. Big time fundraiser tonight, so I've got to go schmooze at that one.
What do you mean? You got to schmooze, or you got to carry in a sack of cash?
No, I'm a schmoozer. This is the Ivy Impact Gala. This is run by our foundation group, and they will earn hundreds of thousands of dollars tonight. We have a big ballroom at the casino, and it's a very nice dinner. I think it's probably something like $150 a plate, or businesses buy out tables. You know that drill. They'll serve a nice dinner, and there'll be an auction. But before it all starts, all the different departments have tables outside, and all the people, they're walking around with a drink in their hand, meeting various professors and students and people that we have at the event. And it's a very nice event. It's just it's working tonight for me, and then. And then I have class at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, so I probably better prepare that tonight.
Are you in your monkey suit?
It is the only time every year that I put on a tie.
I mean, it's not a tux thing.
No, it's not a tux. It's not a tux, but it is the one time a year that I will actually wear a tie.
What if you went in a tux? Would they think you were different, or you would just be cool?
I don't know. It is not a scenario I have considered, nor is it a scenario I'm... consider.
So you're Mr. Are you at a table, or are you a walk around schmoozer?
No, I'll have a setup there. Running some video and some things like that, just to be conversation starters.
Sounds like fun.
It'll be okay. It'll be it's a nice event. Like I said, it's a nice event, and the local they'll get some local celebrity, like one of the news anchors or somebody like that's going to be the MC. They bring in an auctioneer, they auctioneer off a lot of big trips and expensive items. It's your typical big time fundraiser, very well done by our local people. But the local business community here there's a lot of good people, and I really do like dealing with them. We'll see how it goes. We have some students who are featured. I'll have one of my IT students who's a pretty much a 4.0 type of student, but he's a really bright guy. So it'll be a good time. So I might have to actually shine my shoes today.
Are you gonna like waddle on by the crap table and try your luck with about 5G, you know, during a break?
No, don't think I'm going to do that. I am just not a gambler, so no, not likely to do it.
Well, let somebody else do the rolling. You just stand there and collect.
I'm going to bankroll some.
If you're really into it, you don't want to roll the dice. Let somebody else roll them. You got so many bets going, you can't be bothered rolling them.
Well, that may be true.
You want to get some attractive young lady who just happens to throw all the right dice, and then you just collect. It's nice when it happens. You know, it happens like once. God knows when it happens, but anyway.
Yeah, I find that I don't have that many attractive young ladies who want anything to do with me. Most of them have restraining
orders. Doesn't have to be your young lady. By the way, is this casino nice?
Yeah, it's Four Winds Casino. It's very nice.
But it's the one up by New Buffalo?
Well, it's not New Buffalo. They have South Bend Casino, too. It's, you know, it's a casino, it's a hotel, all that.
I've never been to that place. Everybody tells me it's pretty good. I've never been there.
It's Pottawatomie, so yeah, it's the same tribe that runs it.
I've only been to the one in Michigan City once. I went there with our friend Pat Burke when he came to Indiana once years and years ago when it first opened. I don't know why I didn't go to those things. I just never have. I like the.
Well, they're nice. You know, if you want to come over, we can go. You know, they have some pretty good restaurants there. So, you know, that's the times I've been to the casino. It's, you know, it's let's go over there and have dinner. But I don't spend any time on the gambling floor. That's just not what I do.
My nephew, I think, lives. He lives over east, and I know he lives over east, and he's right near the one in just over the border. And if he ever wants to, you know, bet on a game, he doesn't want to have one of those online things. Goes over and like makes a regular bet, you know, once every 3 months or something, or if somebody wants him to. That's kind of I never made a sports bet not at a casino. I just don't want any part of the online thing. I don't know. I'm not a sports bettor anyway. But if you're there,
I'm with you. I'm not a sports bettor anyway, so there's no reason for me to have the app. It probably would be fun to go over there and at the sports book and watch the Derby tomorrow.
That's true. Yeah. Well, if you go to one of those places, I mean, you can bet all the you can bet all the tracks if you want. I mean, the good ones. If you know my friend at the Tripoli who had all this money, he owned all these. Poor guy died this year. But he owned like six or seven of these. Recycling facilities, you know, and a guy, he wanted me to hedge his copper. He goes, yeah, I got like 50,000 pounds of copper. And I'm going, yeah, I can hedge it for you. You know, you got to tell me what you want me to do with it, but I can do it. And plus, you get a lot of gold, too, out of the computers. You know, what do you get, it was like a quarter ounce of gold in every computer, Kevin, or something like that? I don't know. I mean, he was giving me this little, anyway, he was my knowledge into that business. It's a fascinating business. You know, recycling metal. You know, people show up with the metal and dump it, and what you do with it all, and it's fascinating. You know, the metals you get out of there, and you take the bulk stuff like the dirty copper, and you ship it to a guy who makes it clean copper, and then you get all the stuff that's kind of got gold in it. And there's another guy who does that, and it's you know, it's really it. You know, you can sit there and listen for hours about the business. He was I never saw anything like it, Kevin. I would bet. You know, he's dead, I guess I can talk about him. I would bet last year that his total handle, which means the total amount bet, was well into the seven figures. I mean, well into the seven figures. I mean, he did the Super Bowl pools, not this last year, but the year before. I think he won 150, 200 grand. But he had put like 80,000 into them. All cash pools. Every bar in the city was $500 pool, $1,000 pool. He went and gave him cash. But he would sit there next to you and say, hey, Chief, what's your favorite number? I don't know. Come on, give me a number. All right. How about a seven? All of a sudden he's tapping the thing. He goes, we got the seven horse in the fifth race in Abu Dhabi or someplace. I'm going, what are you talking about? But you can bet all that stuff.
a very knowledge-based bet.
Yeah. Well, you know, once in a while you'd win, you know. I think the guy must have done all right, but he certainly loved doing it.
Random chance actually might be, you know, for a lot of gaming, might be actually your best bet. But
Well, they used to have, in the Tripoli, some of the guys, I haven't seen it lately, But somewhere on a cable channel, you can actually see, like, harness races in, like, Arizona or someplace at night. And you can bet on them. I mean, there was one harness track, they didn't even have a rail. They just had, like, the little construction orange cones. That's what delineated the track. And these horses are going around, people are betting about going, you guys got to find something better to do. But people love it. You know, a lot of people actually follow the horses. I mean, there'll be people, like, for this Derby, that have actually bet those horses in the three or four races they've already run and know all about them. You know, they actually are charting every one and have bet them in all the different races. Our buddy Joel's really into it in terms of the Derby. He goes a lot of times, I think. But, yeah, he knows. He'll probably give us... Well, he didn't give us a report Tuesday. We were talking too much about the market, but he usually follows them. And these guys actually, you know, bet on them when they're all 3-year-olds, which is kind of bizarre when you think about it. I mean, a three-year-old... I know basically nothing about horses except a little bit I've learned from Audrey. And she's like, if you have a three-year-old horse, to try and ride a three-year-old stallion at that age, I mean, they're young. I mean, it's really something what they do with at that age. I mean, because horses live to be 30. It's not like they couldn't run the Derby when they were 5 years old. But traditionally, they run them when they're three, which is, you know, that's what they do.
That is what they do. Well, look, we should be having Joel on today, but we don't. But before the next Triple Crown races, bring him on during my time here on Friday, and let's get him for 10 or 15 minutes to talk about the races.
This is Friday.
I know. Oh. Get him the next time.
Well, you do it for the Preakness for sure.
Because we have two more Triple Crown races. You should get him on there.
Yeah, I hope it's not. Was it last year? The whole place was open.
I've done race previews in the past. He does a nice job with it.
Did you ever? Did you ever go to the Derby? Did a whole group from our group, our gang, went there one year?
We went to the 100th running, got into a big brawl.
Why'd you do that?
Oh well, that was interesting because we were on the infield, and so we were there all day. I was sort of in the middle of it. A bottle, somebody threw a bottle, you know, just randomly heaved a beer bottle. And I was laying there on the blanket, and it hit me in the head.
Really?
And so I just pushed it away. So I'm shit, and push it away really hard. Well, it slides across the way, and it didn't really hit her in any significant way, but it, you know, ran up against this guy's wife. So immediately he jumped up to defend her honor, not knowing why it was, you know, what happened in the first place. And, you know, I had just gotten hit in the head by a bottle, so I wasn't very interested in hearing it. And I told him what he could do to himself. And I got this, what'd you say, freak? Because we were kind of the freaky looking people at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And so I got that, and next thing I know, he kicked me in the head. So now that was two to the head. I was up on my feet. We were into a brawl, and a whole bunch of us got into it. And I actually got pulled off of the guy, and I'm glad I did, because I probably, at that point, I was so infuriated, I probably would have gone too far with it.
And a good time was had by all.
And a good time was had by all. And
nobody arrested?
And my face was a little messed up for a week or two. Yeah, that's my memory of the Derby. Damn, I'm going back.
Yeah, that sounds like... I think if I went, I'd be in a box. Let's put it that way. I had no interest in the infield, but...
Yeah, well, this was a large group of us doing an impromptu road trip in college years, so...
Oh, God.
But yeah, I will not forget, I don't think I have ever been as out of control as I was at that time.
Did did you actually watch any of the race?
I got separated because it could have turned into something much worse.
Were you able to even see the race?
You kind of saw them blowing by you really fast. Yeah. And it is amazingly fast. When you're up close to them running, it is hard to believe how fast those horses are moving.
Well, when you... You'll hear somebody, like you talk about Secretariat, was what? He's the only horse ever under 2 minutes in the Derby or something? Not too, whatever it was, he's the only one under the number. And somebody else will roll in at like 202 or 203, and somebody will say, man, he probably could have beat Secretariat. I'm like, you guys have, what is it, like 10 yards for a tenth of a second or something? Like 2 seconds is like 30 yards, isn't it?
Whatever it is,
it's a huge amount of distance every sentence, every second for one of those things. Now, of course, the track conditions are always different, but I mean, if somebody beats another horse by 2 seconds, I mean, they're way behind. They're so fast.
Yeah, the distance is huge. Yes, absolutely it is.
But anyway, it's fun. But Churchill Downs, boy, there's not many tracks left. There's only one here, and they barely are going to open this summer, Hawthorne. It's Kevin. It's funny how we just kind of shove the gambling around. I don't know if we ever increase. Well, I guess you do maybe now with the sports, but you never when you were well, when I was very young. My family loved to gamble, and they would always go to the track. And if you want to get a bet down, you went to the barber or someplace, and you gave somebody who's always going to the track, and they'd put a bet down for you. I mean, and the Sun Times used to come out every morning when there was a real newspaper. They would have the turf edition. It was a special edition for the track. Like the last 5 pages of the paper were all about the horses running that day. And then you bought the racing form, and it was a big deal. And then of course they went to the off-track betting, and talk about insider trading. Your buddy Steinbrenner, the guy who owned the Yankees, there was all this word going on about off-track betting, right? But nobody really knew how it was going to go. At least maybe I didn't, anyway. But the Steinbrenner all of a sudden comes in, and he buys, what was the name of that track way down south, the harness track? The hell's the name of the place?
Maywood?
What? No, Maywood was west. But there was this harness.
Oh, yeah, Maywood was west side. I've been there.
It's way south. And,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Actually, in the summer when they weren't running, I saw the Eagles with Linda Ronstadt opening for them.
Really?
At the track, yeah.
I mean, just to be it was a nice place. They ran the harnesses for maybe 5-6 weeks. Well, he buys his track. You know, he's going, what the hell did he buy this track for? Well, it turns out everybody who owned a track got to open up an off-track betting place. So he got wind of it, came here, bought the cheapest track, and it could open up an off-track betting place. And then they got to open up another one, but it always was a closed deal. Those guys could have been in Washington today. What do you think? Everything's a closed deal. None of this stuff changes, does it? But it just kind of gets more and more.
It really doesn't.
Hey, what do you make of the NBA play? I know you're not a massive, but there's this first round is usually, good against, bad against the
usually pro forma, yeah. And
it isn't.
Yeah, and I haven't been following closely, so I don't know who has advanced yet and who hasn't. But
well, OKC was 4-0.
I do know there's been a lot of dragging out these series for the one extra game.
Well, the OKC just romped through whoever they played. They clobbered somebody. Was it Phoenix? Might have been Phoenix. But now the Celtics and Knicks are 3-3. I don't think anybody expected that, but evidently Embiid's back and playing well. The Nuggets lost to the Timberwolves. I didn't expect that. Pistons and Magic are 3-2. That's close. Matter of fact, the Orlando's they were the underdog, and they're leading. The Knicks and the Hawks are Knicks won last night, so they're in. Cavaliers and Raptors are 3-2. And the Lakers and the Rockets are 3-2. And that's weird because the Lakers don't have a Doncic plan, and the Rockets don't have Kevin Durant plan. So the two best players are off each team, which is weird on that one. But you know what was that? I saw last night? I turned the game on a little bit. I saw Clyde Frazier. The guy's 81. He looks like he's 60, maybe.
Oh, no kidding.
He's absolutely totally articulate, talking about the Knicks and how he thought that he'd rather play the Celtics, which had like the best record out there, than the 76ers. He goes, his Embiid is too hard to handle. He's I'd rather play the Celtics. I would not have guessed that. But the dude knows his basketball more than I do, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was such a great ball player.
Oh, yeah, and he looked, Kevin, you would never, I'm looking at him and going, well, he's got to be up there, but he looks like he's in his mid, maybe early 60s. The lady goes, he's 81. I'm going, good Lord. Whatever he's doing, keep it up.
Yeah, well, I'd like to do the same.
Yeah, no kidding.
It would be pretty cool to get to the same. So yeah, so Clyde, you know, you bring him up, you know, he in the backcourt with Earl Monroe for that version of the Knicks championship teams of that era were just so good.
Yeah, and that was an older Earl Monroe, but still he was so good.
Yeah, he was, because he had spent most of his time in Washington, or he had spent a lot of his career in Washington at that point. But he was still great, and. Yeah, they were just a fun pair to watch.
It was like the Big O. I mean, if he would have been in a big city, you know, he'd have been in the top five, you know, GOAT sort of discussions. But he was Cincinnati forever, and finally, when he was older, he came to Milwaukee when Lou Alcindor was still Lou Alcindor, I think. Was he Jabbar already when his freshman year?
I don't know if he had become Kareem or not at that point, but nevertheless. Yeah, that pairing made for a championship. Yeah.
Well, he also had Bob Dandridge, which was really good.
Guy who averaged a triple double for a year.
Yeah, but I mean, he was about as good as anybody. I mean, he was, you know, he was one of the first big guards that could go inside and do everything. But he was, there's not a weakness in that guy's game.
There wasn't a weakness, and the other thing was. There was no wasted motion or energy in him.
No.
You know, some players are like that, where they don't always have a lot of flash to them. They don't often have a lot of flash to them, you know, like a Jordan or somebody like that that does all this spectacular stuff. But, you know, it's just play after play, game after game is just damn good.
Yep. I often wondered, out of all the guys back in those days, in today's basketball, who would really make an amazing difference? Not that they weren't really good when they played. The way this is now, with the middle kind of open like this, and somebody's, you know, doing the three-point thing, I would have to believe that George Gervin would just dominate. I mean, he would just go down the middle, and some big guy would go up, and he'd flip the ball over. What do you say? The thing I could do was the finger roll. Remember that comment?
I mean, and with that, yeah, I mean, that was a good way to evade all the big men. So as he was now he wasn't a small guy anyway. He probably went 6'7" ish, like that. So it wasn't like he was short. But you know, when he was going in against the trees, you know, that little move, that be able to, you know, just sort of avoid the contact, flip the ball up there with the finger roll, and have it go down. A lot of people can do a finger roll. Not too many people can get put it through the basket. So
But, you know, he was
that's like, you know, Jordan's turnaround jumper from the baseline that he developed as he got older. A lot of people can get the turnaround jumper. It's just making a high percentage of them that they don't do.
Well, there was you know where he was found? He was from the south side of Chicago, or west side. I don't even know if he went to college. He was he was found by Johnny Kerr. Johnny Kerr talked him into saying, "Hey, you're good enough to play. What's the matter with you?" And it's a little known story.
Let's pull him up on Basketball Reference and see.
But the only problem with that is he didn't play for the Bulls.
Yeah, that's kind of a shame. Huh? Yeah. Oh, didn't he actually play for them for a?
Don't think so. If he did, it was a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I think it was right at the end of his career. I'll check.
But so Kevin, it is May 1st, May Day, but for. I don't know how they do this, but the labor numbers are not on the 1st. They're next week. Sometimes they are on the 1st, and sometimes they're not. But this time they're not. They're next week. So, you know, we'll see how those labor numbers come out. But boy, there's a lot of people getting laid off around here, Kevin. I don't know, what are you seeing? The CBOE just laid off a bunch of people.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a lot here, but I can't imagine that. As much with what we're seeing with prices, that the the RV and boat industries have got to be getting hurt. So I should probably go pull up the Warren reports and see what's on there. But I'm not seeing a lot of it here. And there's a lot of stuff that, you know, that is doing well. Tech sector stuff is doing really well. Distribution is doing well. Some of those, but. You know, that this has to take its toll at some point. By the way, George Gervin played his final season, his last season out of 14 years with the Bulls. And even at that point in his career, he still made 16.2 points per game. And still made 47% of his shots from the field, which is great for a guard. He wasn't a 3-point shooter, but he had high percentage, and so that's sort of George Gervin. There you go.
I think he was one of the first really big guards. He was 6'7" or something, I think.
Yeah. And where he played college basketball was at Eastern Michigan.
Really?
In Ypsilanti, which is, Carl knows Ipsy. He actually played high school ball at Martin Luther King in Detroit.
Well, that's I wonder how the hell he got to.
And went to the ABA.
Is he from Chicago?
I wonder
where Johnny Kerr came.
Actually, he was born in Detroit.
Somehow or another, there's a connection between him and Johnny Kerr. I don't know what it was, but
yeah. And he's 74 years old now. So
wow. Well, they're getting up there. They're coming right along with us. Kevin? You're not, you're the subjects you teach aren't exactly some of the stuff we talk about here. But what do you make of the fact that in our last two, I'll say somewhat crisis, COVID and a war, the market just gone straight up both times? It seems a little counterintuitive to most people, but yet it's happening. And I'm not shorting anything for people. I mean,
you mean the market goes up when we flood the money supply?
It seems to. I mean, what do you think the difference is? I mean, Hal's trying to get at it. I think he's pretty close, but I don't think that in the original monetary people, the Friedmans of the world and so forth, they knew it wasn't even, Kevin, that if you put money in the system, not everybody got it. I mean, they knew that. That's why they thought you should never have inflation, because it was uneven and it feels so good for a while, then all of a sudden you get too much of it. I don't think they get to comprehend how much in those days it didn't just go into the market, because the rates went up and people headed to fixed income. But now it seems like the other wrinkle that the government has done is they buy up, they buy back the federal bonds, so that it ends up on the balance sheet. So if you sit there and go, I mean, when interest rates got down to what, 1% or 1.5% during COVID? Kevin, other than when I joined the business when the market was 800, when you sit there and go, I think the market's going up at some point. I mean, it really couldn't go down anymore, right? Well, when the 30-year or 10-year rates get down to 1.5%, the thing that pops in your mind is, wait a minute, they can't go any lower. I mean, you got to sell these bonds. I mean, this is the biggest trade. This is the best trade I've ever seen. Well, if you did, and we did for clients, I'm going to say probably 15 times over those few years. I'm going to say we won on, when I would say we won, we had winning trades on maybe a little over half. Because we would short the bonds a little bit. We'd do a put spread or something. We weren't going to short the bonds. We'd do a put spread and maybe the TLT or something like that. And all of a sudden, it flies the other way, because and you'd look at the Fed balance sheet, and they bought another, like, $200 billion worth of bonds. It was just like if you were in Europe, it's even a bigger example. When it got down to, 0.2% or something, anybody with an ounce of gray matter would say, Jesus, I got to sell these things. Little did you know, the European Central Bank was going to take the rates negative. So you got carried out feet first on a trade that, how could it go wrong? How could rates ever go below zero? But they did. The government, and this is not this administration or that administration, the government has gotten involved way more than they ever sort of did. So, and I think the result is that when the money comes in, it only really goes to a few spots. And one of them appears to be the market, because that's where anybody can get leverage who wants it. I mean, we've had, clients, we've had stocks up this week. I'll bet just at PTI we've picked up several million dollars, maybe even more, in buying power. Any one of those people, or all of them, could call today and say, gee, how much is my my account up. Well, you got, you know, you used to be here, and now you've got this much buying power. Let's use it. You get the loan instantly. I mean, imagine you and I going and try to open up a plumbing company and get loans. Good Lord, how long would that take us? We probably could do it with some of the good, you know, the banks that are in, still by you and by me, but it won't be easy, will it?
It would not be, and you would be pledging, you know, your firstborn and maybe all of your kids in the process of doing it. Hey, just a little diversion, just because it jumps out at me every time I hear it, and so I'm not picking on you for saying it, but when I hear the expression during COVID, I actually hate that expression. I have come to hate that expression.
I do too.
and the reason I do is because it makes that era sound like something that happened to us. And my contention would be more that it happened at us. So there's got to be some other better name for it than that, because when we say during COVID, it was like, oh, well, it was this era and it was unfortunate. You know, there's a whole implication that just goes with that term, at least in my mind as I react to it. And you know, to me, it is one of the all-time worst crimes ever perpetrated on.
It's sort of like
perpetrated on humanity, but perpetrated on an economy too.
Well, it's like saying it defines an era, and everybody immediately drops back to whether they were stuck at home, whether they were doing this or it's sort of like saying, you know, during the Depression or during Vietnam, your mind and my mind immediately pops up the demonstrations, whether you're going to get drafted, body counts. It just unfortunately, it's the gateway word. I don't like it either, because it wasn't, you know, you're right.
I would go with the COVID crime. I could live with that. I can live with the I don't know. You know, there's got to be a better term for it that I need to settle into, because it just frosts my ass that we, you know, as we look back at it, that we're talking about an era that where we did everything wrong, and we did everything wrong on purpose.
Well, it also changed my view, and it happened to be Trump in office, and then of course became Biden in office, so the two of them were equally as inept.
I'm not willing to go quite that far, because while Trump absolutely is responsible for a whole lot of this stuff, including Russia allowing us to Olay these vaccines into the market, and the initial lockdowns and so on. But maybe he would have gotten to some of these mandates that where people were losing their jobs over not getting vaccinated. But to me, that's part of the egregious crime, and that definitely came out of the Biden administration.
Without a doubt. I mean, I didn't say they did the same crimes. I said the two of them together managed to create whatever. I don't know where the breakdown was, one or the other, but the thing is,
it accelerated as the administrations changed. It accelerated into this other thing, because if you remember what we were getting out of Biden and Harris during the Trump years is I wouldn't trust anything that Trump got brought to market. So they were actually discouraging. They were saying disparaging things about vaccines until they got in office, and then they said everybody's got to do it.
Well,
so I there's a lot of dimension to this that goes into that during COVID, and I in no way want to exonerate Trump from his role. Absolutely not. He still has, as far as I'm concerned, a whole lot of explaining to do about that.
He's forgotten all about it, but
it's kind of off everybody's radar, and I wish it weren't. We just say during COVID and move on, and I don't want that. I still want people to go to jail for it.
Well,
not going to happen. No,
but you know, it's what I found. I'm going to say sort of horrifying. Thought it'd be kind of an odd story, but the bar down here, the Trader's Bar, well, there's a couple of them, a series, they ended up having three or four young ladies all came from, it wasn't Serbia, it was one of those places over there, and one was nicer than the next, and not to mention easy on the eyes, but one of the younger ones says, "Hey, Chief, can I have a serious conversation with you?" And I go, "Where is this going, right?" Because, you know, we were there a lot, and everybody liked us. I thought everybody liked me. Who knows? Maybe some people hated me. And we sit down, and she goes, when I was a young girl, and she was still only 25 or something, she goes, when I was a young girl, all the newspapers we were a communist country. And where's Transylvania? That's where they're from. What is that? Is that Croatia?
Well, I don't know, but it is the home of the villains, thieves, and
So anyway, she goes, when I was a young girl, all the newspapers were communist. We were communists, so everything had to be like run through them. And she goes, and then all of a sudden, we weren't communists anymore, and the papers were like, was like bare knuckle fighting. I mean, they would write articles that were really the truth. They'd call people names. She goes, I come over here. I say, I read the papers here. This is a long time ago, Kevin. She goes, the papers here seem to me like I'm back being in a communist country. Everything looks like it's been read before, or better been run through somebody. She goes, you're kidding. This is a 25-year-old girl from another country telling me this. And the thing that I remember about the COVID situation, whatever you want me to call it, all the pieces of information that I was using on the show, and I guess we are somewhat of the press a little bit, every piece of information I got that was worth reading, it was worth a shit, came from Europe or from South Korea about the COVID, about the antibodies, about how long they lasted, about when you didn't need to take a shot, when you didn't, all those kinds of things. I didn't read any of that here. That was all kind of scrubbed. And now we're kind of at the same thing with the insider trading that I see. I'm not saying every day, but every week, every piece of information that I've been able to get on that, and Elizabeth Warren was grilling Hegseth. I don't know if he knows what the hell it even is, but she's grilling him. All that information is coming from the UK. None of it's coming from the stuff here, except they finally picked it up when everybody else read it from the UK. Then you finally started reading it here. All that's... we're not getting any kind of real... And I'm not saying... this. Her comments to me were way before Trump, so I'm not blaming him. But somehow or another, Kevin, we have over a period of time... I mean, if you want information... I mean, we went out last night for my bro's birthday. My nephew was there, and he goes, he's a bright kid. He disguises it well. He goes, I can't... we've had people that we know, Kevin, that have had... Oh, there's been a lot of cancer lately. I mean, our friend from the show, Bill Moriarty, died last weekend of it. Good friend. My nephew goes, this is all from this COVID. These cancer deaths are all up, all over the place. He says, they can't tell me it's not from COVID. Carl's been telling us that for how long?
From vaccines, yeah, absolutely.
And, why are we... is it because... I'm not going to blame Bezos and those guys for buying these places, because it happened before them. Can anybody write an article that actually is the truth anymore? You go on YouTube and you see a bunch of guys saying stuff, and you can get a little bit there. I mean, they have such a... whatever you're right or left, they have such an angle to it that you almost can't believe half of it. But I mean, it's...
Only people who are not affiliated with a major media outlet, because let's start with the televised media. How many pharmaceutical ads do you see per hour?
Oh, if it wasn't for those, they'd be out of business.
They'd be out of business. So they're not going to criticize. And it's the same thing, because there's affiliations between most of the print media, because they're really online media. And so online, you count on advertising. You may get subscriptions online, but you're really counting on advertising that pops up online as well. And how much of that is pharmaceutical? So no, they're not going to criticize it, because they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them. Now, if you want to subscribe to reporting, subscribe to Cheryl Atkinson. She writes about, exactly what we're discussing regularly. So subscribe to her site. Subscribe to, a Catherine Herridge who does a really nice job. And, and these are people I do have subscriptions to them, just to disclose properly. They do some really good independent reporting, and they haven't picked a side. They have not, they have not picked one side or the other, left or right, Democrat or Republican or any of that. There are a lot of people who have picked a side who are still honest journalists. They don't try to hide it. They don't try to sell their opinions as news. And so I appreciate some of those writers as well. and have no problem with them. You know, it's just, it's a point of view, and that's okay. Alternate point of view, points of view are good. But, you know, you have to be very particular about where you go get your news. And it's not from any what I don't even think mainstream media isn't necessarily the right term, but it is not from some mass market media type of operation. You're just not going to get any news about that kind of stuff because they are in the pockets, just like the politicians are.
Well, I think when you look at like your local news, if you turn on, you know, I still watch stuff at night, and I think the decision there, Kevin, is really totally different. They have somehow, you know, they're maybe right. I don't know. I mean, they know the market better than me. But if you click on Channel 9 or Channel 7 or whatever, they've made a determination that all the kind of news you and I talk about and we talk about on the show is gathered during the day from other outlets. I think that's their decision. The chairman was in here, maybe tell me I'm a knucklehead, but I think that's their decision. It's very brief on the national news, you know, the straits open, the straits close, something like that. But then you totally dive into, you know, the policeman was shot, weather's a big deal, sports is a big deal, all those kinds of things. And it's really, if it's 5 minutes and a half hour on national news, it's because there's some real national news. They've just totally abdicated, and maybe they think that by the end of the day, people have watch us all day long. They're tired of it. They just want to get the local news. I don't know, but that's...
That's probably true. That's probably a good assessment of it. There is some good local reporting, though.
Local reporting is real good, I think.
And some of it, you know, just to give you an example, because it's become national news now, but it's been like 2 years. The Minneapolis local news stations have been reporting on fraud. A lot of the fraud that is now national news, they've been reporting on it, and they're affiliates of national news outlets that have just been ignoring it because they've picked a side, and so they don't want to expose it. But you know, this is not new reporting. This isn't, and you know, Nick Shirley, who's a YouTube guy, is getting a lot of credit for exposing it because he had the wider audience. But he was just picking up on stuff that was reported by local news.
Well, Kevin, I get stuff from both sides, and the one thing I will say, it's obvious to me because I'm getting the stuff from both sides. The fraud is everywhere. There's nobody that is clamping down on anybody of anything, any place. And if you're from the right, if you're really on the right, you zero in on the fraud on the left. If you're on the left, you zero in on the fraud on the right. And if I read both of them, I'm just sitting there going, the whole place is fraud. And everything, you can't pick a program, you can't pick anything, you can't pick a business, you can't pick an industry that's not seemingly loaded with fraud. And nobody will ever get spanked. Nobody. And everybody knows that now, unless you somehow flip your nose at the wrong person or flip a finger at the wrong person. Nobody will get caught. You can drive 100 miles an hour. You can drive on the shoulder. You can go through stoplights. You can charge people too much. You can be in the medical industry. You can be anywhere else. You can front run from the White House. You can take stuff from the government, whether it's immigrants or whatever it is, and you can steal that money. You can do whatever you want. And only if somebody wants to zero in on somebody they don't like is there anything that even comes to it. There's nobody any place. I'm not talking about just the current attorney general. None of the last 10 were going to roll over on a Sunday morning and go, I'm going to church and I'm going after the drug companies. It ain't happening, Kevin. I don't know why it isn't, but it's not. I don't know how, and I think it's going to be kind of the death of us, to be honest with you.
Well, and Vance has been assigned the duty for doing this. I don't have any great expectations that anything's going to come of it. But, you know, we'll see. It would be nice.
Well, the idea that somehow or another, and you know, I was totally against the tariffs. I think they're horrible. I also am totally against, once they got the dough, if you can't get it back to the person who actually paid it, just forget it. Just stop them tomorrow and just let bygones be bygones. I mean, you know, that's been my position, whether you agree with me or not. This idea of writing a $500 million check to General Motors right now, and not anybody who bought a car getting a dime, To me, I can't even imagine it, Kevin. It's like a bad dream, and I just woke up.
Well, Apple, you know, Tim Cook just promised that they were going to take anything that they got back and plow it into U.S. manufacturing,
Bullshit.
That way, Americans would benefit by getting the jobs that come with it.
Give everybody who bought a phone $50 back. Bullshit.
I'm with you.
I mean, come on. What, if Walmart's going to get $1 billion? I mean, come on. Even to them, that's a lot of dough, I think. Maybe it isn't. I can't imagine us doing that. I honestly can't. And Carl's right. I mean, they're the people who actually wrote it.
Don't say that. He's online.
He was right once. You don't really have a standing for you and I to go say, gee, we spent $400 at Walmart last week. Give us $30. We have no way to justify that. They could say they absorbed it, which I doubt. I mean, Home Depot sure as hell didn't.
Yeah, they didn't. And Carl, you should jump on, because Carl got a song, the Ticker Guy Blues. Did you see that thing he sent out? Although they missed an opportunity for the tune. They should have done it to the tune of Summertime Blues. You know, ain't no cure for the Ticker Guy Blues.
No,
Except that would have been somebody's copyright violation. So this, and then whoever did it would have gotten spanked, because you know they're not a Trumper or a Bidener.
I would Kevin, I don't want to insult Carl, but I was thinking
I'd just be of a mind to say, come and get me.
Now, as soon as you mentioned Carl's song in the blues, why did I immediately think of Smuggler's Blues from Miami Vice?
All right.
That was who was that? Was that that wasn't Roy Orbison? Who was that? God, it was a great song.
Smuggler's Blues.
Yeah,
it actually was. Yeah,
Ricky, how about finding who did that one? That was great. That was there anybody a TV show that had more better music than that show?
The thing is, it started out great, and then like most television shows, it doesn't tend to stay that way. So,
well, it's hard to. I like the one with Willie Nelson. When he was the old Texas Ranger. Did you ever see that episode?
No.
Yeah.
Well, there was this young kid who was a young police officer, and he was undercover with these real drug guys. So he was wearing a pair of cowboy boots, evidently from Texas, and so the guy said, "We don't think that you're really this guy because these boots are too expensive." He just pulled out a gun and blasted him right on the dock, and in he went. And sure enough, there's this old dude, Willie Nelson, living in this old people's home. And the guy gets up, and he's got these incredible set of guns, you know, they with a star on them. So you could say, hey, this guy was a Texas Ranger. Well, he pawns one of the guns, and he's got the nitroglycerin for his heart, and he goes after these guys. And he steals the money from the dudes. And now they're going outraged because they had stolen the money. And the guy wants not the money back, but he wants his satchel back. So somehow or another, they caught him on tape that this is the guy. And Sonny and Crockett and Tubbs are going, who is this guy? It turns out he was a former Texas Ranger, and he was pretty cool. Well, you know, it was a two-part episode, I think, but it was good.
I'll just check it out. There's got to be a way I can find it.
Yeah, and the music was but Willie Nelson was great. And they ended up nailing these guys, but most of the time the guys just flew away, right? Because the feds would never chase them. All of a sudden, you'd see the smuggler. A lot of that was true, I think, right? The Miami people never got enough help, never got real help from the feds, did they? For these guys, that was kind of the theme of the show, wasn't it?
Well, it was I mean, the funny thing about all of this is that it's. You look at these indictments that were just announced. Okay, by the way, there's two sets that are pertinent to this. The first one is a group of people that are Mexican officials that were just indicted by our feds.
Yeah, Sinaloa governor, I think.
And of course the screeching out of the people south of the border. Yeah, that this is entirely legitimate. It's political. F you. It's not real. These people didn't do it. Pull the other one. You know damn well they did do it. And, you know, yes, you're entitled to due process of law, but, you know, bite me to start with. So that's, you know, that's piece number one. All right. Oh, by the way, Mr. Law and Order President, boy, I'll tell you what, you make me president for a day, and that set of facts comes out, and I am going to turn around and say, the Mexican border is closed. If you've got assets down there because you decided you were going to exploit the American worker and put your production down there, tough crap, they're stranded, have a nice day, go F yourself. You knew damn well what you were doing. You sold it as a fraud to the American public that the auto worker down in Mexico was going to be making $30 an hour and was going to be able to buy our trucks and our cars. That was a lie. You don't get to profit from that, especially when some of the money that is down there is going into the production of lethal narcotics that are coming into the United States. You don't like it? Tough crap. I don't care. Border shut, period, end of conversation. And oh, by the way, I've just deputized any American, since this is a wartime action, to go down there with his own rifle, and if someone comes across the border, shoot him.
Well,
okay, so that's number one. Now then, number two, and actually there's a third one. So the second is this group of people, Chinese, by the way, who just got caught with a full set of plans in industrial production for the industrial manufacture of methamphetamine here in the United States. Okay. We're talking about a chemical plant. Literally, a process plant. Okay, not somebody cooking the stuff in their kitchen.
Yeah.
All right. That just happened. And then the third, you're going to love this. Michigan State, their largest academic building, was just evacuated because a very oriental-looking individual, who, by the way, has been arrested, apparently, was using it as a meth lab. Okay? And we're talking, by the way, the name is Xin Tong. Gee, I wonder who got busted. And this is at Wells Hall, which is a huge academic. I know exactly where it is. That's a huge academic building at Michigan State University.
Well, one of the girls who played softball with us, her family would have a every year they're all over the country. Somehow or another, they'd get this huge place down in the Ozarks.
Yeah,
and they'd all meet down there. And one of the problems with this young lady is she showed up to play. When we played in this tournament, we had four girls instead of two. We only had two on our team. So we had the two other girls, and she was one of them. Let's just say she was distracting to our team. She was so attractive. And she's giving this long story about how she'd go down there, and she's a big runner. We had, you know, great figure. She goes, I just had to be careful. I stayed on the road because if I ran up the wrong driveway, I might run right into a meth lab.
Yeah,
it's not like people here don't know this is happening, Kyle.
Well, the thing is that the actual, you know, a lot of the precursors are relatively common chemicals. Okay, they're not, you know, they're not some esoteric thing. All right, but they are being exported from the PRC, that is China. And large amounts of this stuff are going into Mexico, which is where a lot of this manufacturing, if not most of it, that's coming in the United States is taking place. And every now and then, one of these guys is not quite the chemist he thinks he is and blows up, you know, the lab explodes.
Yeah, sort of like guys that used to boil nitro. If you kind of mess it up, boom, boom.
You don't have to be, you don't have to be too stupid, and you know, you blow up your house or wherever you are that you're doing it in. This is all, and all this stuff traces back into the Chinese. So if we actually gave a wet crap about any of this or about Americans, wouldn't you think that the correct thing to do is to say, since, you know, we think we should be throwing our, swinging our you-know-what around, you know, hitting people with it. Okay, fine. you do this, you're embargoed. Period. End of conversation.
Who we're pissing off? We're seeming like we're enamored. Somebody's enamored with dictators.
Well, no, really?
Yeah.
Can you figure? Oh, by the way, just so you know, I don't know if you saw this late last night, but we essentially now have a stalemate over in the Strait of Hormuz,
right. Yeah.
Because the Trump administration, although it isn't being widely reported, it was out there last night that the Trump administration has concluded that, it really did, their authorization for force under the War Powers Act really did expire. So you get 60 days. Well, 60 days are up. Have a nice day.
Hegseth right? says that the ceasefire extends it.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, wait, tell me what he said.
I know what Hegseth says. Hegseth can say whatever he wants. The fact of the matter is that the Trump administration knows damn well that Congress is not going to give him the authorization. Okay, it's just not going to happen.
Do you think when here's a question that I'd love your opinion, but we don't know the answer to it. There's been three times now that the Democrats have put forth something in the Senate regarding the War Powers Act.
Yeah.
And every time it's been defeated by the Republicans, which I think the Democrats know. I mean, they're playing whatever the games they're playing.
Yeah.
My question is, actually, everybody, are the Republicans voting it down because they believe that it's okay for Trump to do this? Or are they voting it down because they don't want to be in a position having vote okay to do this? I think it might be number B.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the war powers thing, came out of the Vietnam and Korean, eras, right? Because there is an inherent conflict in the way the Constitution is written in that regard, to some extent, in that Congress has the absolute power.
The only conflict, Carl, is your definition of war.
Well, no, there's a legitimate conflict here, Chief, and there always has been, and that is Congress, under the Constitution, Congress has two absolute powers. The first one is the power of the purse, and the second one is the power to declare war. Okay, those are congressional prerogatives, and that's the end of it. Okay, under the Constitution. However, there is an issue that arises, which is that in a true exigent circumstance, Congress may not be in session. Congress is in the middle of doing other things. By the way,
this is before Zoom meetings.
Well, but nonetheless, you have to have a quorum. I mean, there are rules of parliamentary procedure that have to be observed when you're in a parlamentary body. And in addition to that, this becomes somewhat of a problem when it's 3 o'clock in the morning and the radars light up and say there's 14 nuclear missiles headed this way.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, I mean, there is a tension there with the executive where you need some set of limited capacity to respond to something that is deemed an imminent threat and, before you can get this authorization. And I've got no quarrel with that in the general sense.
Well, plus, let me interrupt real little bit. You can also, I won't use the term almost get there. It's like almost having sex. You either do or you don't, right? Or almost pregnant.
Yeah.
It's like almost pregnant. You are or you aren't. But I think there also is somewhat of a, even though some of these other, I'll use the term skirmishes or whatever they want to use, Bush and a couple other guys have done stuff, and Clinton, but they didn't actually go for a war declaration,
right.
but they brought to Congress and got the approval for the money for the war, which kind of sort of got you to the same place, sort of.
Well, it is the same thing.
Yeah.
Because there's a clear question that arises, which is define the actual thing that requires a declaration of war.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it sounds simple, but it really isn't. Is any kind of hostile activity war?
You know,
I don't think it's not.
You know what, Carl? It is to me. you know, and I'll say this, maybe it's my Catholic upbringing. One is, if you're going to fight a war, you need the money, right? So Congress has the power of the purse. Where is Trump getting the $2 billion a day? I mean, that's a question. That's a huge question.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, for me, and I'm not putting my mind in the mind of the people who wrote the Constitution, but I really do believe this. And you can totally disagree because I could be very wrong, but those guys lived in an era, they grew up in an era where despots just would go start wars on their own without regard for the people who didn't come back or came back with, half a body. And I think when they put the Congress in this, why it's in there, whether or not, the stuff you're talking about, the missiles in the air, I get all that. But I believe that the honest reason for it is the decision to go and essentially kill people, they didn't want to have in one person's hand. And you know what? If I was president, I wouldn't want it in my hand. I mean, if I thought it was the right thing to do, I absolutely guarantee you that I would go to the best people in Congress and I say, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I think we need to do. I hate the fact that we have to. Am I right or wrong? Are you guys with me? And if the answer is no, you're all screwed up, I'm going to rethink it.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I honestly, maybe it's my Catholic upbringing and it feels that way. I don't think the decision to go kill people should be on one person. And we have a guy in office who obviously feels right now that that's his. That's his decision. And I am appalled by it, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
Part of the problem that we have with that now is you're right on process. I have no argument against what you just said. I would love it if I thought we could have those kind of conversations in Congress right now. But we can't because because so much of the opposition is personal, so much, and I'm not saying it's still that justifies anything. I'm not. But what I am saying is that I don't think we could have honest conversations with Congress at this point.
You're probably right, Kevin. But you're sure not going to. You're not going to. You don't ask.
But you see it with the Voting Rights Act. Decision is, there's people out there saying you've just taken away the rights of black people to vote. Really? Really? That's your conclusion from that decision?
How many black people have a passport?
That's not what the Supreme Court decision this week
I'm talking about the law they're trying to get through.
Well, I wasn't. So you're changing the subject. That's your conclusion out of this is we just went back to the 1950s. Okay, that is just not an honest reading of the of it, and yet you have people out there doing it because they like to inflame passion. So I'll go back to something that I heard, and I know I shared it on the show before, and then I got to pack it up because I got to get myself organized for the day. And that is that we are now running the government out of the executive branch, and the only the reason for being for Congress is it's a social media app, and that's it.
Pretty much.
Well, that's their contribution.
Well, but you—that's part of that—is being fed from the top. If you want to get rid of Congress, first thing you do is say they're useless. I mean, I think it's very possible that those people know these people better than we do. I guarantee you, there's 10 heads on each side of the aisle that we could all get together and say, okay, leave the campaign at the door. This is a big problem, and you can't tell me there aren't 20 people there that can do that. If you don't try and find them, you're not going to find them.
I'd like to think there are, but I just don't see them getting front and center.
Well, I mean, Trump's not going to ask them. He's not going to drag them to Camp David and say, okay, what are we going to do? These are the problems. There's people there that are on these committees that are there for a reason. If you were to ask 10 senators and 10 representatives, you said, if you had to pick 5 people here from each side of the aisle, or from maybe not even each side, just 5 people that you could absolutely trust to not blow up the secret, to not that stuff, I bet they all name the same people. They're there. I'm convinced they're there. If you look.
Yeah, I would love to believe you.
Well, I mean, you don't ask, we will never get.
I absolutely think this predates Trump. I don't know when I would actually put my finger on it, becoming the predominant approach. But I just think we have a bunch of bomb throwers in Congress, and they aren't very useful. There are some exceptions, but I don't know that there's enough of them.
One of the guys here in the Chicago area.
I guess I'm just not an optimist when it comes
to that. One of the guys
Unfortunately, that's unfortunate because by nature I tend to be an optimist.
Well, I'll just give you an example here in the Chicago area, and I don't know the man very well. I met him years ago because he was first running when Jen's wife was running for judge, and I met him a little bit, Mike Quigley. You know, he seemed like a pretty reasonable guy, and wasn't some crazed knucklehead. And when he's been in Congress, I don't know how many terms, but very quickly, he ended up being whether it was a Republican or a Democratic group. Very quickly, he made it to one of the God, what's the double secret committee for like covert ops and things like that. And very quickly, he walked to the top of that. Now, there's other people around here that we have, and you know, I'm not going to name them, never got there. Maybe they didn't want to, but obviously people there figured this guy was a little smarter than the average bear and is somebody we could trust. And even if it was a Republican-controlled thing or a Democrat, he was always on that committee, even though he wasn't all that senior. So there is, I think these people do know the people that they, in their midst, that they can trust, and the people that are just goofballs. I really do believe that. I mean, God, Kevin, in the OEX pit, there were 350 people screaming and yelling. If you asked me, if out of here, pick the 10 people you wanted to put on a committee to move forward that actually could count on, they would be there, they were smart, they wouldn't have a blab mouth. I could name it at 10 people, and I bet everybody else would name the same 10 people. I mean, that's been my experience in life anyway. I mean, if you asked the 435 people in Congress, if you had to put a committee together from both sides, the people you absolutely could trust on a serious national issue, I bet 80% of them named the same 10 people.
Well, maybe. Well, I don't know. I don't know, Chief. I don't know about that, Chief. I think there's...
I mean, it might not be the same 10 people, but they know what you're talking about. You're not going to name Danny Davis. You're not going to name AOC. I mean, you're not going to do that. Right, you're going to get, who's the guy from Hawaii? Everybody would point to Dan Inouye and say that's the guy. You know, he's a vet. He's this and that. He's honest. I mean, there are people that everybody knows are honest and do the stuff right. I really do believe that.
I think reasonably recent history has demonstrated that that's a load of horse excrement.
Well. I refuse to judge. I met some of these people when I was on the board of the SIBO, and they're not all like the knuckleheads that I've met here in Chicago. There are people that actually care about doing their job. I've talked to Kevin a few times. One of the ladies who's was a senator. She just retired, state senator in Indiana. She's a remarkable human being. Worked her ass off. Told me on this committee she had to study this, and she went there, and she had these professors helping her. She was on a medical committee for how many years, and then they flipped her over to the highway committee. She said, it took me 6 months to go through all these contracts and review contracts and everything. She goes, I worked my fanny off. Now, there are people like that. I really do believe that. If not, I mean, if everybody's an idiot, well, then where are we going with this?
Yeah.
I'm not
on each side, though, that's where I get a problem, or even 10, you know, 10 in each chamber. I'm just not seeing it. And you know, maybe given the right role, maybe some of these people would become serious people. But right now, it is what does social media look like? What can I put on social media? What can I do to draw attention? And that kind of stuff just drives me nuts about Congress.
Well, Kevin, it's also part of today's. I don't know if it's the. Well, it's probably not the younger generation. Everybody has this idea. I mean, maybe it's not so. The saloon we used to go to on Friday night for the fish fry. What was the poster say? Remember, everybody else in the world except you is overpaid and underworked. Well, everybody's got this idea that they could play quarterback. No, you can't. I could be a senator. No, you can't. Most of these people have quite the background. Some, I mean, representatives, maybe not. But that's why there's 435 of them. But, I mean, the idea that, that guy's an idiot, I'm smarter. You don't even know the guy. I'm not talking about you guys. You don't even know the guy. His background is probably 10 times yours, but nobody will ever admit that. Everybody's got it all figured out. Two minutes on your phone and you got it all figured out, right?
Well, I don't know. I think, there's a lot of really fascinating stuff economically going on. I mean, we've got into the war thing and all this, but back in the late 1990s, one of the reasons that I got out of and walked away from the internet industry, it wasn't the only reason. There were, I had some personal stuff going on that was also part of the decision process. But one of the main reasons was that over the space of a couple of years, and I've talked about this on the show, I saw all these S1s coming out that collectively were claiming, 5, 7, 10 times the GDP of the world. Okay. Because one of the things that's in those...
By the way, Carl, I was doing the exact same thing, only just using the numbers on this end.
Yeah, well, I mean, but what you... one of the things that you end up doing is in an S1, for those people who don't know, S1 that are listening and don't know what it is, an S1 is also commonly called the red herring, and it is essentially the business plan presented to investors when you are going out to seek money in an IPO.
And it actually had a red border on it because it wasn't the final edition.
Right.
That's why it was called the red herring.
Yeah, but it was also called the red herring because it was management's presentation with essentially no rebuttal, right?
Yeah.
Management was the one that came up with it, and it was their thing. All right, so one of the...
Hey, can I give the history of this a little bit? It was either that when Roosevelt came in and we had the crash of 29, there was a lot of differences in the way things were done in those days. And one of them was you could come out with stock without anybody knowing any of your plan, who the executives were, any of that stuff. So it was the Securities Act of, there were two of them, 33, 34. One of them required you to actually register to put a security out there for a common stock or whatever. And it wasn't like the government approved it or anything like that, but you actually had to put together this big list of stuff, who your executives are, how much they're going to get paid, what's your business, what do you own, what are you going to do with the money. It's a big document. You never had to do that before. You just went to the bank and the guy goes, how about some shares in XYZ? Good company? Right. Yeah. You got anything to show me? No. it was absurd before. So this thing became something now, but it's not approval. It's just a register. It has to be done in such a way. But before I'll use the term approved, you can go out and you can pre-market it with something called a red herring. It actually had red around the side, so you knew it wasn't the final document. Go ahead, Carl.
Right. So anyway, what I found fascinating about this is that during this period of time, we had an awful lot of just flat-out crap, okay? And... the poster child one was pets.com, right? Everybody made jokes about
that. Or flowers.com.
Yeah, and of course, it all blew up, right? So, but the thing that, from my point of view, that led me to say, okay, this is going to explode in everybody's face, was that the total addressable market claims, along with the aggregate of these things in isolation, in for any one of these firms, you could look at that and go, well, that could happen. But in aggregate, they were essentially claiming that the GDP of the world was going to expand by a factor of 10. All right. In a very short period of time.
By the way, the numbers say that right now.
Well, but this was the GDP of the world was going to expand by a factor of 10, and it was going to happen over the space of a couple of years because all of these firms were going public.
NVIDIA's priced to triple. If it triples, it's going to take Canada and Europe with it.
Chief, it gets more stupid than this today,
yeah.
Okay? One confidential filing, which is not out in public, but of course, when you make these, you know, some people do get access to it and it leaks.
Oh, without a doubt. It's supposed to leak. They want it to leak.
Is this SpaceX stuff.
Yep.
Okay, which is just out. All right, so just to give you an idea of the scale of the insanity in here. This, by the way, if this doesn't constitute criminal fraud, I don't know what does.
You're not going to get this administration or anybody else to go after
him. I'm well aware of that, but I am just warning people of exactly how stupid this is. Let me just give you a couple of things out of here, okay? Because there's a bunch, but just a couple that are particularly shocking. The first one is that Elon has claimed that the total addressable market is approximately equal to the GDP of the United States for his one company.
Well, if with the inflation the way we're going, he might be right in 5 years.
Well, okay, but you know, but that's the first one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the next one, which is even more outrageous, right? If you could imagine something more outrageous than that, the total addressable market for one company, right? The next thing is that he's going to have in his data centers in space thing power consumption, therefore generation. Duh, there isn't any sitting out there right now, right?
Yeah.
Right. 10 times approximately the total electrical generation capacity of the U.S.
This in terms of dollars or kilowatts?
This is in terms of terawatts.
Terawatt, okay. So he's not using dollars, and he's, so there's no inflation.
He's not using dollars. He's using actual units of energy. Okay. The claim is that you know now is the energy to be harvested present there? The answer is yes. It is this screaming flaming ball of you know white hot gas in the sky that we see every day is the source. All right. But the context of this is that he's going to put all these compute centers, all these data centers in space on these satellites. All right. Now think about this, Chief. I've made my living programming computers and doing data networking. I mean that's how I had since I was literally a teenager. All right, no BS. Computers break, networking equipment breaks, transceivers break. You could say, well, wires very rarely fail. Well, it's true, but not never.
Right, right? Not never.
Not never. By the way, in large corporate installations, it's not at all uncommon to have a dude whose job is to run around and fix that network connection or this one because something happened, right? I mean, most of the time you can't figure out exactly why. It's just that jack doesn't work anymore. And so you have to go figure out why that is and, you know, rectify it.
Well, first thing you do is plug it to another jack. If the other jack works, then you know the jack's bad.
Well, okay. So this is, none of this is very hard.
Coming from jack of all trades, you know.
A jack of all trades, there you go. So a jack off of all trades.
Yes, master of none.
Yeah, exactly. So none of this, though, is very complicated in a data center on, you know, on Earth, right? You've got a bad card in a server rack. You walk down there, you turn it off, you put replace the bad one, put the good one back in and turn it back on. Okay, you know, I mean, all right, it has some disruption capacity and things like this, but none of this is really very difficult to do. How do you do that in space?
You send Scotty after it, for God's sake.
By the way, you claim that you're going to take not 10 times the amount of data centers that are currently in existence and build them in space. In other words, the events are going to be 10 times as often, right? Because there's 10 times as many of them. It's actually some multiple of that because the majority of electrical energy consumption on planet Earth is not, I mean, a large amount of it is used in data centers and growing amount. as a percentage, but not all of it by any stretch of the imagination. I'm sitting here. I've got lights on. You know, you use air conditioning for purposes other than cooling computers. So what is the real factor of expansion here that Elon's talking about this S1? What, maybe a factor of 50 or 100? And last time I checked, if something breaks in space, you can't just walk up to it and swap a card.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the next thing. But if you really want,
hey, can you back up a second? That's because I listen to you. I have questions like this. As time goes by, everything they're trying to do gets easier and easier with less power. Why all of a sudden? I mean, if I'm like a third grader here. I'll admit that. I don't understand if they're going to be doing all this processing for me, then I don't need the stuff I have, and you don't need the stuff you have if they're going to do it for you. Why is there such this massive net increase in total power needed to do exactly what? What am I missing here?
Well, the premise here is that this alleged CapEx is going to end up being good, okay?
Why does Amazon need how many billion, or Apple a couple billion dollars more processing capability than they have now? I mean, it seems like
because artificial intelligence is going to take over the world.
But as it goes, it's going to become more and more. I mean, why do I have a cell phone now that is the same as the IBM 2020 Pullman used to pay $20,000 a month for three of them?
Yeah, a mainframe. No, yeah. This is all part of the credulity gap between reality and everything else. Okay, I mean, it's crazy. We're just absolutely, this stuff's wild-eyed nuts. But if you think that's nuts, and I'll give you the last piece of context here, then I'm going to tell you why it matters in the context of today, the last week's earnings reports and what the market has done. Because it does matter, and it's going to bite people if they're playing this bandwagon game right now, and everybody appears to be. The most outrageous thing in the S1 is that Elon moved his corporate registration out of Delaware and down to Texas, mostly to get away from the Delaware fiduciary responsibility laws, which are very well understood and have crafted over a very long period of time, and the certainty and institutional knowledge, if you will, is why most of your corporations are registered in Delaware. It's not that Delaware is just the best place in the world to have a corporation. It's that the huge amount of time, the volume, the amount of litigation that's going on over the space of God knows how many decades, everyone sort of knows what the rules are there, right? Moving it to Texas.
Well, I don't want to go to a long esoteric thing, but Stocks and Jacks is a corporation. I just registered in Illinois, 15 years ago. What size? What would I have to be to say, not Illinois, I'm going to go out to Delaware? What would cause me to do that?
There's no size requirement at all.
I'm not saying a size. When would I decide? Wait a minute, I better check out Delaware before I just do
Illinois.
Well,
when you want to take a company public, it's all of a sudden there's a credibility thing being out there. Okay, I mean, when I ran MCS, we were registered in Illinois because it was an Illinois corporation.
So if I were going to take Stocks and Jacks public, I'd move them to Delaware first. I don't know if I'm ready to do that, but
you probably would. Okay, but I mean, this is and the only reason is because if litigation ensues, everyone knows more or less how it's going to play out, and what the basis is, and the rules of procedure, if you will, under the Delaware corporate law.
Okay.
And it's just because so many people have died. It's kind of like it's sort of like we know that this racetrack has less of a crooked standard of doping horses than the one over here, right, or whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, and Elon moved registration out of there because he got.
Hey, can you hold? We haven't done a break yet. Can you hold that thought? Because the CBOE was a not for. You could tell me the difference. They were a not for profit, registered out of Delaware.
Yeah,
as are most country clubs, by the way. which is even more bizarre. SP futures up 21, Nasdaq futures up 10. We're going to talk a little bit about why that is, why the market keeps running up when it's seemingly some kind of a crisis situation. But same thing happened during the COVID self-imposed era, as Kevin wants me to say, which I guess that is better. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Low and OPEC Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tamar Ricky on the board. SP futures up 21, Nasdaq futures up 10. Big movers. Apple had earnings last night, so a lot of revenue on cell phones and so forth. They're up $9. We've got, who else is doing much of anything here? Oracle's up 3. Micron's down 7. It was down 11. It's come back some. So we've got stuff kind of bouncing around. But in general, most of the stuff is green here. Merck had earnings as well. They're up $3. Salesforce up $5. So stuff is positive. There's money continuing to pour in the market. We'll talk a little bit about that probably. DAX up 337, 1.4%. FTSE, which has been going the opposite way of everybody else lately, down 59.6%. CAC round up 42.5. So generally up. European stocks rebound as oil prices fall. There you go. Both the Bank of England and this ECB held rates steady, so no movement there. Nikkei up 228.4%. Hang Seng down 335. That's 1.3%. I'm not sure why that is. One of the reasons would be, I think they're closed. That's one of the reasons. That's yesterday. For some reason they're closed today. So is Shanghai. So they're closed. But Nikkei is not. Nikkei was open. I don't know why the Chinese markets are closed. Maybe Carl does. Bonds down 2 basis points, but 4.37. They look like these rates starting to go back up. And I don't know if the Fed's buying or what. But all of a sudden they just don't want to advance. Every time the 30-year gets near 5%, it backs off. Which I suppose is a good thing. Oil down 257, 102.50, still high. This is the number you want to zero in on if you're the two numbers. RBOB is 361, so I'll get an idea from Carl how much the tax is in Tennessee, but here the tax is pushing a buck. So if you don't think you'd be paying here 480 pretty close, pretty soon, you're smoking something, the good weed. Home heating oil, which is also diesel, by the way, is 403 now. So again, add to that, and you're seeing why the diesel's so high. Gold was up yesterday, down $22 today, $46.07. Silver up $1.31. It's almost 2%, $75.34 in the silver. Foreign exchange, actually the dollar is down somewhat because the euro is 117.6 now. It's been 117 flat for quite a while. The pound is up to 136.4. So in Japan, evidently interceded because their stuff is 156 now again. The euro is $1.17 per euro. When you say the yen is 156, that's 156 yen per dollar. It's the other way, so be careful with that. Crypto, up $1,500, 78,000. We get Carl's opinion on if all these illegal transactions in the world must be going through crypto because it's doing pretty well lately. Ricky, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Hey, good morning, Chief. It's currently 7:35 here in Chicago. 41 degrees right now with a high of 45. Mostly cloudy and colder. Slight chance of an afternoon shower today. Tonight will be clouds starting to break up, and it gets chillier with a low of 39 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, 70 degrees right now with a high of 91. Sunny and very warm. Tonight will be clear to partly cloudy with a low of 69 degrees. Traffic in Chicago, we've seen some patches of heavy congestion in all major roadways, particularly inbound, but it's not looking too bad. It's 18 minutes inbound Kennedy from Monroe's. Inbound Edens from Lake Cook is 31 minutes. 33 minutes inbound Eisenhower from Wolf. Inbound Dan Ryan from 95th, 22 minutes. And lastly, Stevenson from 294 is 35 minutes. Sports, let's talk NHL real quick. The Wild beat Stars 5-2 and advanced to second round. And Ducks also beat Oilers 5-2 and also advanced to second round. Today we got Lightning at Canadiens at 6 p.m., Sabres at Bruins at 6:30 p.m., and Golden Knights at Mammoth at 9 p.m. For the NBA, we got 76ers beating Celtics 106-93 and tying the series 3-3. Knicks beat Hawks 140-89 and advanced to play either Boston or Philly. Timberwolves beat Nuggets 110-98 and advanced advance to play the Spurs. Today we got Pistons at Magic at 6 p.m., Cavaliers at Raptors at 6:30 p.m., and Lakers at Rockets at 8:30 p.m. If you're looking for a reason to raise a glass and give back, join Friends of Fisher House and Revolution Brewing for the Heroes for Heroes kickoff party, happening Friday, May 8th from 4 to 6 p.m. at their Ketzie Brewery. Swing through for food, raffles, good company, and a chance to learn about Fisher House and how they support our military. For the month of May, a portion of Revolution sales will be donated to Friends of Fisher House, providing a home away from home for veterans and military families. This event is free and open to anyone who will support. That's the Heroes for Heroes kickoff party on Friday, May 8th from 4 to 6 p.m. at 3340 North Ketzie. Save the date and raise a glass for our heroes. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Ricky. Carl, we have a lady listener from Buffalo who's letting me know that the town is abuzz with the Sabres doing well.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You know, it doesn't take much to get Buffalo abuzz.
No, I know it doesn't. Well, I don't know. I thought that, you know, a buzz would probably be pretty easy there, but
maybe.
Yeah, maybe. So anyway, I want to go back to this Elon thing because all right. So, you know, I pointed out two absolute insanities in this registration. The third one is the whopper. Okay. By the way, the way the governance structure is set up, the only person who can ever fire Elon is Elon.
Can you imagine the buffoons at the SEC that probably they have left there that Trump hasn't fired going over this thing?
Look, people doing stupid things, fully informed that they're stupid and do it anyway, I don't know that the government has a role in actually protecting people from that. There's pretty clean
arguments. Well, it's supposed to make sure that at least you list the right people in charge.
Well, I'm just saying that there's a clean argument to be made that if you're dumb enough to do a dumb thing, you deserve the dumb result, right? Yeah. I mean, stupidity is its own reward or whatever.
Whatever Forrest Gump, stupid is as stupid does.
But the topper of all of this is that in order for Elon to get the maximum possible pay and bonus composition based upon the way the filing is, guess what has to happen?
I have no idea.
SpaceX must have and succeed at having a permanent independent colony on Mars containing no fewer than 1 million humans.
Why would a million people want to live on Mars?
Chief,
there's no air there. There's no water there.
What there is a lot of is cosmic radiation and solar radiation. Okay, most people do not.
They don't have an ozone layer. Last I checked.
They don't have a Van Allen belt, which is the real killer. Okay, so there's no magnetic shield like the Earth has. The reason that Mars doesn't have a usable atmosphere is because the solar wind stripped it over the space of millions and millions of years. And the reason is that the planet does not have a molten, iron-bearing a magnetic core, a rotating magnetic core, so therefore it does not generate a magnetic field of any substance. It's the same problem, by the way, with trying to colonize the moon, in that you have... The moon is beyond the Van Allen belt protections, and therefore you have the same problem. You have solar and cosmic radiation, which are out there. What people don't understand about cosmic radiation, people think of radiation the way we think about it here on Earth.
Carl Smuggler's Brews was sprung by Glenn Frey.
There you go. So it's, we think about it as alpha, beta, and gamma because that's what you run into from, radioactive decay and, and X-rays and things like this. Cosmic radiation is an entirely different beast. Cosmic radiation is essentially atomic nuclei of pretty much every element in the periodic table. It is the leftover detritus, if you will, from the formation of stars and planets throughout the universe, all of which are traveling at very, very close to the speed of light. This is a huge problem because when any of those things hit something, they don't just get either, they don't either just do damage or get absorbed. They break up into a shower of other particles. So if you don't shield 100%, you may as well not shield at all, because you actually may make the problem for the person who's taking the exposure worse. You're better off with the possibility that the thing goes whizzing past you and doesn't hit you than having it partially be absorbed, break out into, you know, 100 high-speed particles, all of which could screw you. And the exposure that you will take over the space of a year is so far beyond safe limits that it's very likely to kill you. It takes 6 months approximately for you to get to Mars for, on a Hohmann transfer orbit. So you're going to take approximately half of that.
Wait a minute. You didn't read the section on the warp drive?
Yeah, the one that we don't have, you know. Chemical propulsion is a bitch because the laws of physics have not been repealed, and everything that you want to take with you, you have to get off of this rock.
We're
going to
have solar drive.
Yeah, okay. So,
did you ever watch Star Trek, for God's sake?
Yeah, and then Chief, once you get there, you have to live underground, because the only way you can have enough shielding to not have this happen to you would be to use the planet's, you know, Earth.
Yeah, well, I get it.
Hey, as a shield.
Would you mind if we one of the subjects, and I think you are
I mean, think about the context of this.
How many zillion pages is this by now?
I don't have a copy of the whole thing. Okay, all I've got is the leaks that have come out.
They're gonna drop this on the SEC and say approve it.
this is going to end. This offering is supposedly coming. And oh, by the way, you're going to get this tiny, tiny, itty bitty little piece of the whole.
Everybody cares about is it's going to come out at 50 and it's going to trade that day at 80, and you got to get in. Nobody gives a crap about any of the other stuff.
Except
you and me, and probably our listeners.
Chief, what's going people have been reading the earnings reports, right? That came out in the results. Do you know that Meta? So Meta got whacked to some extent.
$65 10%.
That was a real number, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Meta claimed that their full year 26 CapEx on data center related, AI related things was going to be something on the order of $200 billion. But what was? Did anybody look at what their first quarter CapEx expenditure was?
I did not. What did they say?
About a tenth of that. So
they're going to ramp up.
So there's three quarters left in the year, right? I mean, the first one just has gone by. There's three quarters left in the year. We're by no stretch of the imagination anywhere close to the, to this.
Are they in an annual year?
I think so.
Okay.
But I mean, and Chief, by the way, they're not the only ones with this, with this pattern in these earnings reports. And, the Alphabet, Google, had a huge pop after they announced theirs. But, the interest, all these other firms have the same pattern in here, and yet the market continues to bid them up, even though by their actual performance in the first quarter, there is not a snowball's chance in Hades that they're going to have positive earnings at all if they actually hit those CapEx numbers. They're all going to lose money.
What's the how much of this stuff, when you talk about CapEx, I mean, you got buildings, you got stuff, how much of that is you're going to depreciate? How much of that is sort of your expensing? I have no idea.
There's another problem that's come up with this, which Meta's report outlined. Part of the reason these guys are getting hammered, right? I mean, you and everybody else, I mean, I've got a computer on my desk, you've got a computer on your desk, right? Your brother's got a computer on his, right? Everybody has these, right? I mean, this is, this is the way it is. Okay, the cost of components, memory and disk storage, has shot the moon. So if you want to put another person on your desk, on a desk, all of a sudden, the cost of putting that person out there is unreal. You know, I mean, that's it's gone up a massive increase.
You know, when here's a little crazy story that I always come up with, and I don't know if everybody likes them or not, but when Dr. J and I were over in Europe lecturing, right?
Yeah.
We were in Dresdner Bank, who then got bought, of course, by somebody else because you can't have too many banks.
Right.
Everybody in those days, there, where you sat by your computer,
yeah,
the guy who ran the bank thought that having, you know, something like on my desk where I got a couple computers and all these screens and,
yeah,
you know, we all, I mean, it kind of looks horrible, but it's very, you know, functional.
Right.
They wouldn't go with that. The you had to have like a counter, and the screens had to be in the counter.
Yeah,
nobody had a screen sitting on top like an extra screen. That was considered totally verboten.
And, well, I did.
Well, but I mean, but these things were all like water cooled and everything because there's so much heat if it's all in the counter.
Oh, yeah.
If you hired a new person, this is 1991, and it was like $2,500 just for their new spot.
Yeah. I mean, well, this is now happening to every business across America. Okay.
Yep.
Not just hyperscalers. This cost inflation that has hit pedestrian disk drive. You know, Seagate had blowout numbers, and their stock took off like a rocket ship too. All right. Seagate makes ordinary disk drives. I mean, that's their business. That's what they make. And I, not all that long ago, I needed a handful of additional ones of higher capacity. I bought them. They're 50% more expensive now, and it's only been a few months later. Now, that's exactly the opposite of what computing power costs have done for the last, you know, 30, 40 years. All right, it's always gone the other direction. You get more for less money. Not no more. Now everybody has bid up all of the commitment for storage, for memory, for everything else. And Chief, this hits every single corporation in America. Amazon says supposedly that, you know, their CapEx number for the fiscal 26 is like $250 billion. Do you realize that their gross profit, before you look at anything else, from their last report was 216, their EBITDA was 159, and their net income is 122. They're going to spend twice their net income and have an operating loss,
Carl, this
per
stuff,
share of how much?
I try on Friday, especially with you here, to try and tie together the week. You can't get away from what Hal's talking about with his money. All you have to do is come out with some total BS in the market, and the thing shoots up. People just, I'm going to say one of the most mundane businesses in the world since we've been around, since you and I were kids,
yeah,
is renting cars.
Yeah.
You see what happened to CAR in the last month.
Yeah.
CAR is Avis and, is it Avis Budget? I don't know. There's a couple of guys that got together. Stock's been bumping along between 50 and 150 for, you know, a year. I mean, it's been pretty volatile for a rental company. All of a sudden, on 3/16/2026, the thing's trading $99.90.
Yeah.
Fast forward to, you're going to go pretty fast, to 4/20. We're talking about a month. The stock is 204.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No, it got up to 500.
Yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah. And then it dropped to 204 like the next day. And now it's like 180, and I mean, Carol, and when people all of a sudden starts from nobody, it's like the movie theater. What was that outfit that went way up during the COVID?
Oh,
there
was a
GM, was it GME?
It was
something in the movie theater. Remember?
AMC or something like that. Yeah.
And the beauty of those guys was they actually had Treasury stock. I don't know if you remember the story. I'll go back for the listeners. I want to start in the middle of a story. If, for instance, Stocks and Jocks, you know, anything can happen. If we ever had an IPO, you have to register. You've got to say how many shares that you're authorizing, and you pop them out. Okay, you sell them and whatever. So now they're out in the market. If the market price goes up, I just can't, without going through the whole procedure again, I can't just lob shares out there. However, if, for instance, I'm giving my employees regular stock, I can go out in the market and I can buy some of that stock back.
Right.
But now that's considered treasury stock. It has been stock that has been issued and is now bought back. Right. That stock, telling people I'm doing it, I can now put that stock back in the market with some regulation.
Without having to register it again.
Without having to register it. You still can't just pop it out there, but there's some forms you have to do. So when I think it was AMC, when their stock went up that much and they were like going broke, they said, wait a minute. If we could sell this treasury stock that we bought it like $5 for like 200, we're back in the chips. So they did. So I don't know if Carr had any stock to sell there. So whether they benefited by this or not. But now, you think these people who were buying it there, first of all, they get a loan on it. They could have come, well, we don't have people like that. But if we had somebody here that wanted to buy some of this stuff at 300, he could have borrowed 150 from us.
Yeah, I know.
That's insane. So it runs up and then it runs back down. We don't want people like that because on the way down, now you got a margin calls and everything else. But it's insanity what's happening. But I want to get to you on an issue that we can spend a little bit of time on if you don't mind. It seems like, in the Trump administration, Biden, Obama, all the way back, there were all these controls on Russia and on Iran because they were no good next. We kicked them out of the... place where you can... whatever the money is fungible. What's that, the SWIFT network?
Well, you have SWIFT in Europe, and of course you have Fedwire here, yeah.
Okay, but I mean, if they couldn't... If you're in Iran, theoretically you couldn't cash a check, right?
Because In theory.
So right. Now all of a sudden this war starts. It's a war that I think we started. I mean, that's pretty fair.
Well, we did.
Yeah. and of course, we think Russia is the biggest knaves on earth because of the Ukraine thing and other reasons. But then, there does seem to be some relationship, what kind it is, whether it's untoward or not.
By the way, you do realize that they have, across the Caspian Sea, a route between Iran and Russia, right?
Where I'm going with this is that now all of a sudden, and Lou talked, was it a few years ago, Carl, about when the Ukraine war started, they couldn't get roller bearings for their train car. I mean, stuff that you need to run your place.
Right.
And all of a sudden now, I'm kind of not hearing any of that.
Yeah, neither am I.
And it seems like money is somehow flying around and getting to these people.
Of course.
And you have the Epstein situation. You're wondering, okay, why are you bringing that in? I'm not bringing the part in about the girls, which is horrible enough. I'm talking about why did Cantor Fitzgerald guy, who's now, by the way, our current commerce secretary, why did Cantor Fitzgerald guy have to go bring his family down to talk to Epstein? It wasn't about little girls, I don't think. I mean, it might have been, but I doubt it. It had to be about how the hell is this money getting from place to place and how can we get in at it or something along those lines. I mean, there's a reason why these people hung around with a child molester. I mean, it's not something you and I would just do on a regular day, Carl, unless we really thought we needed it for our business. And even then, we'd probably do it in a park at night or something. But these guys are too dumb to even do that. But, I mean, somehow or another, as we're zeroing in on us, oh, no, you can't pay cash at the ballpark. All of a sudden, for the bad guys, it seems like it's open season on transferring funds. Is Bitcoin a part of this? Not a part of it? I mean, are we just letting it happen because we like the guys or we like Putin? What's going on here? Do you have any idea?
Well, this much is rather obvious. Russia and like I said, Russia and Iran have a non-interdictable, from a blockade point of view, path between their two countries. Anybody that thinks that the United States is going to seize a Russian ship has rocks in their head.
Right.
No, we're not.
We didn't do the tanker going to Cuba after all that threatening.
Well, we're not. We could. There's a lot of game playing that we're willing to do. That ain't one of them. Okay. So that's certainly on the table. The other thing is that when you blackball somebody from an exchange mechanism like SWIFT or Fedwire, whatever have you. If there's commerce to be conducted, people will set up an alternative means of settlement that works, okay, between those particular trading partners. You can make things inconvenient in that the fungibility becomes an issue.
Is it back to barter, or are they doing something else, you think?
No, I'm sure there's these transactions, I'm reasonably sure, are taking place in Russian rubles.
I bet they're using dollars, and we're just looking the other way.
Well, maybe they're using dollars, maybe they're not. But, you know, remember, when this thing with Ukraine started, we sanctioned God and anybody that had even the, I mean, Americans, me, by the way, I had a small position in a mutual fund that was actually an ETF, but essentially a mutual fund, that held a bunch of Russian companies. Industrial firms, not defense-related stuff, ordinary industrial crap, so RSX. The federal government seized that from me and everybody else. We're Americans. Okay? The operator of the ETF was forced to liquidate it. You know, 80% of the money went poof. All right? In one day. By the way... I don't work for Vladimir Putin and never have. Okay, why? Well, why did I have that? I mean, it was a tiny position. It wasn't a lot of money, but it was stolen. Why? Because of international diversification. Duh. All right. I mean, you know, do I hold things in other places? Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you have ETFs that are different areas. By what authority?
I mean, there's... They're more worried about you and I having a $10 bet that they don't know about. Yet this other stuff, there has to be a clear successor to Epstein and Maxwell. Who is it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know.
I mean, this is, and yet we and then we got a guy like Jared Kushner is making deals during peace talks.
Well, yeah, I mean, this kind of stuff is just complete garbage. Just garbage.
It really is something, and I don't know how you police it. I don't know, but you would think that if the free world was ever talking again, which I don't know how long it's going to take for that to happen, if it ever does, this international larceny. I mean, I don't want to accuse anybody, but this back and forth with NVIDIA. No, you can't send this stuff. Well, you can if we get 10% of the gross.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
This whole thing, and NVIDIA is in the middle of all this, I think, aren't they? I mean,
in the middle of a lot of it, Chief. But, you know, one of the things that I find fascinating, okay, you know, NVIDIA has for a hardware company, you know, software companies a little different because, you know, cost of goods sold is mostly intangibles, right? It's your engineers, you know, stuff like that. Hardware is an entire, you know, it's like a steel plant. You have to, you know, you have to buy the iron and the, you know, and the coking coal and to make steel. So you have cost of goods sold that are actually hard physical things. And chips are the same way, in that there's real no bullshit stuff that goes into them. Did anybody pay attention to the fact that quite literally within the last few days, the vast majority of the core patents that NVIDIA holds have expired?
Really? So it's been 17 years.
The CUDA, the language that their chips use, which has been their moat, so to speak, around all this AI stuff.
How did they not get it extended? Viagra got themselves extended by
2 years. They expired. Now, not all of them are expired, but enough of them that now all of us, hey, listen, if I'm sitting out there and I'm a hardware manufacturer and I got a 40% pre-tax operating margin, but good God, I better have some way to stop people from shooting at that.
Yeah.
All right. And if I can't, I'm in big trouble. And, oh, by the way, patents run out. All right. So they just have. Now, I don't know if you've been watching this space all that carefully. I do because it's, you know, it's my wheelhouse is technology and computer stuff. I've seen all these announcements from Google, from AMD, from ARM Holdings, which is the company that produces most of the ARM based chips. So like everything from your phone to a Raspberry Pi to whatever, a lot of these run on ARM Cortex. All of these firms are gearing up to take shots at NVIDIA's alleged dominance in the AI space. And my assumption is that the reason that they think they can actually get in here, because, you know, everything being coded in CUDA is, you know, that's a problem, right? Because you're going to have to come up with your own libraries.
And we're running out of time. Take a minute.
So
the thing, if a hula hoop comes off patent, I can look at it and make a hula hoop. If this thing comes off patent, how does anybody know even what it is? I mean, how do I?
Because you have to disclose them if they're to get a patent.
Okay.
So all this is in the public view. All right. I just can't manufacture anything that uses it, sell it until the patent runs out because there's a patent. Okay.
Patent in the software and the hardware? I guess my question.
It's some of both, but there's a series of them, and essentially the language, the computer language that these chips use, has been their moat. Well, the moat's now gone.
But how would I or you find out what the language is? They have to publish it?
Oh yeah, how do you code to it? I mean, like, for, you know, I have DaVinci Resolve here that I use for video production. It uses CUDA for acceleration of the, you know, of the graphics. Okay, so does all the games. So all the games that are out run on either that or OpenCL. There's two competing standards, but CUDA is the one that ended up being the de facto AI language, and that is no longer protected.
Okay.
All right, so the idea that these guys are not going to shoot it at a company that's got
you just take it. Yeah,
you just implement your own chip that operates against that set of instructions.
Really,
there's nothing preventing you from doing it anymore. Well,
how do they not weasel an extension?
I'm sure they did, but at some point it all runs out.
Yeah.
All right, and the key components of this are now no longer under patent protection.
That's interesting.
And this is a company that has an operating profit, but an operating margin of 65%.
That's unreal.
Well, how many people do you think are going to shoot at that?
You know what?
Everyone who can.
You know what? You know, that's up to where, like, movie popcorn and remember the text messages used to be 2 cents a piece? They were like 95% profit.
Yeah, these guys have an ROA of like 51%. Every single chip company on the planet is going to come after these guys.
Well, you know, if you were quick like a bunny, you could run out to Colorado, Carl's, or House Lou says they were getting 2 feet of snow today.
Well, you know, but all the places that had, you know, that are skiing friendly, they've all, you know, their seasonal staff has all
closed.
Been let go.
Well, yeah, you got to walk up the hill. That means you got to be in shape.
Yeah, well, that's up a lot.
Yep.
So yeah.
Anyway, but we got to dash. Have a nice weekend.
Yep. You too.
Ricky, good job. Back on SP futures up 16, NASDAQ futures down 5. So not much going on. Back on Monday, Stocks and Jocks.
That's all, folks.